This is with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Nava. And with me today, we have our co-founder and producer, Mr. Brian Goins. How are you, sir?
Hi, guys.
We have our trash tweeter, Mr. Jack Alfonso.
Welcome.
Listen, you and John Oliver, have you guys seen John Oliver's show? He copied my welcome. That's how he starts his show. Listen, I've done this first, John Oliver. And we have our statistician, Mr. Nikias Duncan. How are you, sir?
Doing quite fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. There's a lot to talk about today. Even though the heat season's over, there's tons of interesting stuff. And we're going to start in the obvious place. Jack.
Yes.
Who would you rather have, Michael Beasley or Derrick Rose, right now?
Right now?
Right now, Beasley or Derrick Rose. You have to win basketball games.
Michael Beasley, easily. No
really?
Question.
Really? Easily. Me too.
No question.
Beasley,
why?
Easily.
One, culture. Two, encore production.
Culture.
Three, it's Derrick Rose.
Not a criminal.
Not a criminal. I mean, well.
Allegedly. Acquitted criminal.
Acquittedly.
Yeah.
Okay. Nikias, thoughts?
Give me Beasley because he can shoot.
Oh!
That's it?
I think we're all pro Michael Beasley here, and isn't that funny? And the reason I bring this up is because during the break, during the pre-show, Jack and I were talking about how the NBA better fix the lottery for the Heat because we got screwed out of Derrick Rose. And I said, it didn't turn out so bad because we got Beasley. And Beasley, unlike Dion Waiters, he is a meme, right? Like, Beasley is our meme that we love. And I wouldn't trade those Beasley experiences for anything in the world, even Derrick Rose. No, so, in all seriousness, I go, wait a second. Because Jack made the joke saying Beasley's had the better career. And I said, well, who would you rather have? And I think we all legitimately feel, jokes aside, that we'd rather have Beasley.
I also think Beasley's had the better career, though.
Not
in terms of NBA legacy. Hear me out. If you had to, take over for one of them, switch lives with them, would you rather be Derrick Rose, the former superstar who had to go through a ton of injuries and a pretty terrible legal case that ruined his reputation, or be Michael Beasley, just a chill guy that most fan bases love? And he's been to the finals.
And China.
And he was, an all-star.
China's not a good thing. China's a pejorative.
Tell that to Mark.
Nikias is laughing. Nikias, what's funny?
Oh, man, just the China thing.
Poor Beasley,
There's nothing wrong with China. I mean,
Hassan was in China.
And Lebanon.
He turned out okay.
Yeah, Lebanon and China. So he went to both.
He went all around. I bet he's cultured as hell.
Hassan?
Yeah.
Have you heard his stories?
I heard him talk, but
Whoa. Hold on. But Hassan is not helped by his goofy sounding voice.
No, he has a very silly voice. That's not
it's cartoonish.
But that doesn't mean he's otherwise a super. I don't want to say anything bad.
I was are you going to say?
We know who Hassan Whiteside is.
I love him.
We all know the deal with him, but we know why we love him. And it's not because he's Chris Bosh, where he's a Renaissance man reading books, coding in the off seasons, learning guitar and stuff. We like him because he's getting these 8-foot fish tanks and yelling at his cousin Dawood. Did you guys see that Snapchat story
where Big.
After Critical Mass, or is that what it's called?
Hassan did Critical Mass?
Yeah, he did. And then after, he was looking for his cousin Dawood, and he was in the AAA parking lot, asking all the posters, Coach Spo, where is Dawood? And Shane Battier, where's Dawood? And he does that for I don't know. It must have been an hour in his.
I love him so much. I never want him to change. That is our franchise player. For the audience that doesn't know, Critical Mass is this bike ride around downtown Miami that it's a mass amounts of people participate in. So
spray ad.
Huh? Yeah. Well, LeBron did in one of LeBron's ads. He or was it a Sprite ad? Yeah. He does critical mass with a bunch of kids. So that's funny.
I have a question about that. Do you think, like, does LeBron have to buy custom bikes? Because he's a big dude. Same thing with a Hassan Whiteside, I guess. Like,
oh, I think so.
To be like a 7-footer riding a normal sized bike.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've never thought about that. Yeah, probably, right?
Yeah, probably.
That must be uncomfortable to drive if you're Hassan.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Shaq and those Buicks.
And Buicks are spaces cars!
That's what they want you to think.
Nikias, do you think Hassan, like, Hassan cannot like driving, right? Like, it has to be uncomfortable.
Nah, he probably has somebody drive for him.
Oh, yeah, I mean, at this point, yeah. So Jack and I did a great pre-show where we were basically waiting for everybody to get ready, and we did a great sports show. So we're going to go through all the topics that Jack and I discussed. So we did Beasley Rose, which I feel was more interesting in our pre-show. So honestly, we were talking about how annoying the Celtics are to us, right? And like, I don't want the Celtics to win. I want anybody but the Celtics to win. And that even includes LeBron winning. But like, Miami's in this catch-22, right? Because like, there is this process versus culture war going on between Boston fans and Miami fans and, you know, process Twitter and assets Twitter and culture Twitter, right? So there's like that struggle going on of two different schools of thought and how to build a team. And then Boston's just annoying, right? Like, their fan base is one of the most annoying fan bases in sports, the Celtic one. And then on the other side, you don't want LeBron to win because his decision's already validated. And as Brass Jazz pointed out in our last show, like, he can't have the back-to-back championships too. Like, that's ours. Like, don't take that away from us. So we're in this place that it's like, we can't, like, neither of them can win because it's bad for us.
So let's just all root for Washington then?
But we don't believe in Washington.
I believe in John Wall.
I love
John. That's all I believe in.
I'm rooting for the Rockets to win it all. That's been my stance.
See, but like, we got into this before. Like, if the Rockets win, there's going to be all sorts of annoying James Harden greater than Dwayne Wade. You know what I mean?
And I'm with it. I think I would be all in that bandwagon.
I hate you. Screw why? Dwayne Wade.
James Harden never left us. James Harden shoots three.
I think we found the name to the show. James Harden never left us.
Also, he won us the 2012 NBA Finals.
That's so that right.
He was more important than Dwayne Wade in the 2012 NBA Finals. I will say that right now.
Does that make him a Heat lifer?
He is a Heat lifer.
I forgot he was in NBA Finals.
He was so bad. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He disappeared.
That was just it.
God. Mike Miller had one good game, and we remember that. Poor James Harden. Huh?
You said Mike Miller, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he went bananas in the closeout. That was fun.
That was so fun. And then the what?
And then the amnesty.
And then the amnesty, and then it ruined everything. But
speaking of that, get Mario Chalmers back in the NBA. What are you guys doing?
Why? Yeah, why has he not found a job yet? That doesn't make any sense.
But I don't know. Dwayne Wade has a job. Why doesn't Mario Chalmers have one?
Ow, Jack.
I said this on Twitter the other day, and I stand by it. If I am looking for an NBA role player to help me win a basketball game, I know the Achilles injury is probably bad, and he's probably a lot worse than he was, but I'm taking Mario Chalmers over Dwayne Wade, solely because I think Dwayne Wade had a usage of like almost 30 this year. Mario Chalmers wouldn't do that.
Okay, well, I'm glad. Oh, your take is awful. And I'm glad that you brought up his usage because Nikias wrote a good story today about possible landing spots for Dwayne and about like whether he's going to opt in or out. And Nikias, where can people find that?
You can find that on fanrag.com.
So search Nikias Duncan. What's the column called? I'm so sorry. I put you on the spot so bad.
I got it.
I'm so sorry, Nikias. I apologize.
three pressing questions surrounding Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
I could not think of pressing for whatever reason.
Way to go. You have.
Did you say depressing?
Pressing.
Oh, I mean,
I'm sure it's depressing.
Well, Nikias talked about possible spots for Dwayne, right? So then there's the option of opting in, but he looks generally unhappy there. That organization is a disaster. They're not close to winning. But that's a lot of money he'd be turning down. $24 million, 23 point something if we're going to get technical. Then there is the Cleveland Cavaliers, which Nikias points out that could be a good guy off the bench to playmake, a third crunch time option, right? Boys with LeBron. Like,
how much better would that be than Darren Williams, though? I mean, I know he's better than Darren Williams, but I don't know. Today is talk. Wait, mark that down.
Write that down, Brian.
Today
11:50
talk Wade day, and Darren Williams is better.
Jack is coming with all the takes.
Jesus Christ, you're just eviscerating Dwayne today.
I'm sorry.
And Derrick Rose.
I mean.
But Nikias, like that makes I thought your point on Cleveland made a lot of sense because not and like I know we've talked like the speculation is he's friends with LeBron this and that but it makes basketball sense. Nikias, you want to expand a little bit? I just don't want to read your column. You know, you're here.
No, you're good. But I think that definitely works out. He's a ball dominant guard, and even though his efficiency has slipped, he's still one of the better pick and roll ball handlers in the league. So if you're surrounding him with Channing Frye and Kyle Korver comes back, or J.R. Smith if they decide to start Shump for whatever reason, I mean, you have plenty of shooters and nobody can really create for themselves except Dwayne. So he'll have the ball and he'll have the floor spread. So it kind of works both ways.
And I think you pointed out in your piece that he's really, really good off the ball still. Those numbers were good, the off cuts and stuff like that, like the and off ball paneling pick and roll. So like he has the skill set to fit in that system with those shooters and with a guy like LeBron, as we've seen before. And then I think another spot was Denver, which he can help them calm them in the clutch because they lost a lot of close games. And he's a guard that can help them set up their offense late in the shot clock and late game. So those are possible places he can land. Do you think any of them are like necessarily likely?
I think with Will Barton wanting to opt out, I mean, with him wanting to test free agency in 2018, I think Denver may be inclined to trade him, and I think that'll probably open up a spot for Dwayne if he's still interested.
But that would require, Gallinari to stay and him not go, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be highly sought after. So, like, it kind of makes it a little complicated because I don't think Dwayne's just going to go to a non-playoff team that didn't re-sign their best player.
I don't think he has a choice.
Well, for one, Gallo isn't their best player anymore.
Whoa. Who was?
I mean, I don't think that's a hot take.
Jokic?
Oh, that's right. Jokic, I forgot. Yes, you're right. Jokic.
But, they really don't have to bring back Gallo. Honestly, they still have Wilson Chandler. I think he's under contract for a couple of years.
No, hold on. Wait. Nikias, the quality of play. I mean, Gallinari was really, really good last year.
He was.
That guy gets to the free throw line whenever he wants. He's a small ball four, which you need, who can shoot and defend.
I don't know. He certainly has value, but I'm saying Denver isn't. They don't necessarily have to break the bank for him, because I think they do have wings that they can plug in when they go small. They still have Wilson Chandler, and they're drafting 13, which will put them in range to get a guy like, say, OG Anunoby. I think he's a great fit there. So I don't think they're really pressed to keep him if they want to move.
That might be a guy that I would like Miami to look at. He'd fit really nicely here.
Yes.
He's one of my faves of the draft already.
Jack's living with him right now.
Wait, no, I'm talking about Gallinari. Oh. Who are you talking about?
OG? Original
OG.
Gangster?
No, I was talking about Gallo.
We're talking about OG.
OG is better than Gallo already.
Do you guys wouldn't want Gallo here?
I love Gallo.
Not for the price. I don't know.
Like what's he gonna get? Is he gonna get like in the $20 million?
I would think so.
Didn't Barry say they're not even gonna like really pursue him?
Did Barry say that? Did Barry say that on the show?
Yes, he did.
Gordon's not a superstar, so
Barry, dude, that was so weird. Barry, like 2 shows ago, Barry Jackson comes on our show and says, Gordon Hayward's not a superstar. You shouldn't break the bank. Jack and I were talking about this before the show. Nikias, do you think, who do you think's better, Gordon Hayward or Paul George?
I'm going to have to throw nuance here. Gordon Hayward has the higher floor, and Paul George has the higher ceiling. I think Hayward was better this year, but, I mean, George hasn't necessarily been set up to succeed either.
So, okay, but the fact that it's close, right? Because, like, it's if there's a difference, it's not a lot. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely close.
Like, and George is a guy that I think consensus people would say throw the max at him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand this conversation of Gordon Hayward's not a max player. Like, yes, he is. He's really, really good. He can do everything you want in the small ball era of basketball at his position. Like, everything. He's good at everything. Maybe he could improve the rebounding a little bit. But other than that, I mean, right?
I think it's more people that aren't up on the cap, or maybe they're not focused on the right thing. I think if you ask if Gordon Hayward is a max player, you probably get a different answer than is Gordon Hayward worth $30 million a year, which it shouldn't be a different answer. But I think that's probably the hesitation.
We went through that last offseason with Tyler Johnson. It's just kind of the reality of what things are.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's just people that don't watch Gordon Hayward a lot, they don't see superstar or star quality from him, which is, you know, you got to watch more basketball.
But he doesn't pass the eye test.
And he's white.
Yeah. That's, I was like, trying to say it.
Oh, subtly? A little less. Might be.
Bluntly.
Like, Nikias, I don't know how much Utah, or Jack, if you can want to come in, I don't know how much Utah you watch, but like when I watch them play, and it's not that I think Quinn Snyder's a bad coach, I just don't think that Utah has the personnel on offense to help him.
To help Gordon Hayward?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they got a pretty solid team there. George Hill's a solid point guard. Rudy Gobert's like, he's okay, I guess, like, for what he is. I don't know if he's like anything special, but...
Don't derail us, because we're just going to go into your crappy take on Gordon. Focus. Okay, you can slander Gobert in a second. We're talking about Gordon Hayward right now. Just stay
okay,
on
I'm
court.
Saying, I'm
stay
saying he's got a good roster. He's got a mediocre good center.
Offensively?
He's got Derek Favors, who's great. And he's got George Hill, who's very good. He's got... Who else did he... Rodney Hood? Rodney Hood's legit.
Rodney Hood beat Chris
More like
Paul.
Rodney Good.
There we go.
He's good.
Where's Brian left? That was the time for Brian to do the... Da-dun. Brian got up and left. That was the one time that we needed him. I hate him. See, he's a bad producer even when he's not there.
I appreciate
Oh, look who's back. Hey, Brian, I can hear your seat when you sit down. Jack made a great joke, and you weren't there with your rim shot.
Do it now. I can just repeat it. Let's get this clean. Rodney Hood... I wasn't finished with the joke yet. Okay.
You're the worst, man.
I quit this. Yep.
Stop! I hate you.
Quick Run. Question. How would Gabby feel about Colorado? Because I feel like she wouldn't be crazy about living in Denver. Wade, also, weed is legal there. He's already a little chunky. It's not going to help.
My God, Jack!
Somebody
what is what is with you today?
I don't know.
What did you just say?
All I said is Wade's gonna get the munchies. Also, if he went to Cleveland, would he like try to play defense?
No. That's not policy over there.
Is that just out the window?
It was out the window this year.
Well, but he's on a terrible team, and like
that team was a top 10 defense. I don't understand.
I don't know.
Dekaius, can you help me? Why was that a top 10 defense?
Robin Lopez and randomness.
I love Rolo, dude. I want Rolo here.
Jimmy Butt stuff's pretty good.
Huh?
What?
What'd you say?
Nothing.
Oh. Jeez. God.
Nothing. Let's move forward.
That team. That's forward. I wanted to talk more about Gordon Hayward, but you derailed me.
Oh, let's talk about Gordon Hayward. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get back to that. Good. Yeah, he's good. And I don't think he's helped by that system and his teammates. Like, Nikas, am I wrong? Like, he'll come off a pick and then he'll shoot like a bad mid-range. And I'm thinking, why is that allowed?
I'm actually a fan of their screen action in the half court. I think my only gripe with Utah is just how slow they play, but their sets are pretty intricate.
They run them off a lot of screens and like do pin downs and stuff?
Oh yeah.
You know what I love what Miami does? That little pin down they run for Wayne Ellington on the left side to get him open on a curl. Mm-hmm. Like, and they used to run that for Ray Allen. And I just think it's funny how they're running Ray Allen plays for Wayne Ellington and he's performing.
Oh, it's great. I hope he's back.
That's a team option, right?
Yeah.
Do you think? Man, I don't know. What's the price tag? Like four mil?
Six, if I'm not mistaken.
It's yeah. Six. So if they're going to want to keep Dion and JJ for under 30, right? I think that's reasonable if you get them both under 30.
That's the dream.
Is that not realistic?
I think that's realistic.
Yeah. Think,
like if you get...
I think Dion might be like 13 and probably James might be a borderline 16, 17 mil.
Oh, you think James is going to get more than Dion?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think James is a better player, but I... Really?
Mm-hmm.
Jack, you agree?
I don't agree. I thought Dion's the young guy. I think they pretty much, like... I don't know if I agree with this. I'm going to say I definitely don't agree with this. But, like, I think the idea is that Dion's still pretty young. He was the fourth pick in the draft. And, like, the talent's there. And when he was playing well, he was playing, like, kind of, like, close to a star. Not really, but, like, some nights he was. And I think the idea is that, like, he still has potential. Whereas James Johnson's, like, he's great and he's cool, but he is what he is. He can get a little better, but...
What NBA team would not play James Johnson in a rotation? Like, I think he's the kind of player that... He'd fit in the Raptors. Word to Dwayne Casey. Honestly, though, like, isn't he the kind of player that would fit anywhere?
He'd be awesome in Memphis.
God knows they need him. They need spacing, like, badly. I feel so
take
bad
that for data.
Fizzlies.
They got James Ennis. They're fine.
Do you feel like you're right on that he's good?
I am right. He is good.
No, he's not.
He's not bad. Like
he's not good, an
NBA
dude.
Player.
You're like stuck on James. You want James Ennis to be a thing.
He is a thing.
He's a bad thing.
Fizzlies confirmed.
Oh, here comes the guy thundering and defending James Ennis.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
Yeah, his 6.7. Huh?
I wanted James Ennis gone so bad because he could not dribble at all. I'm proud of him. He can dribble now.
Dribbling's overrated.
He averages an assist a game. He still can't dribble.
Take that for data.
Take that for data.
Why do you and the Levitard Show not have the damn pen slam at the end of Take That for Data? That's the best part of the sound.
Take that for data.
There you go.
That sounds like Leif there.
Data.
Okay. Next show we have on, we need Leif to record Take That for Data and slam a pen or something. That rant was great. I miss him. The post game is now an art, right? Like these post game press conferences are their performance art. They're getting better and better every year.
And the reporters are getting worse.
Yeah, the reporters. The Chris sure Paul question made me laugh.
Dude, that guy was fishing. Brian, do you have that sound again? Of the Chris Paul, do we ever have that sound? I might be asking you for something.
Chris Paul one? I don't even know what that is.
Okay, there was a reporter asking Chris Paul, like, do you think you're going to be back here for Game 7? Right? And it's clearly, like, anybody who's in the industry knows, you just want a quote, your story's almost written, you just want Chris Paul to say the thing that you want him to say so you could put the quote into the story. Because when you wrote the story, you have insert quote here, boom, right? In parentheses. And he was just fishing for his quote, and it was gross. And Chris Paul called him out.
Like, and he doubled down on it. That's what made it so funny. If you can expand upon that,
I'm like, dog. Like, he asked Chris Paul like that question. Like, do you think we're gonna be back here for Game 7? Chris Paul's like, what do you want me to say? What kind of question is that? You've been doing this long enough. He's like, what do you want me to say? Yeah, I'll say it. Yeah, I think we're gonna be back here. And then there's like a pause, and he goes, care to expand on that? It's like, dude, take the L. Like, it's over.
I got the video.
Okay, can you play the sound?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the sound for those of you who don't know.
Chris, will the Clippers be back here Sunday playing the Game 7?
What?
Your feeling about you know, your level of confidence that you'll be back here again.
What you think? I'm on the team. What you want me to say? Nah, it's over. That's what you want to hear? Yes. Come on, man. You've been doing this long enough. Seriously, right?
If you can expand upon that.
No, I don't know. Everybody in here laughing for a reason.
Poor guy, dude. And the Oklahoma City journalist, like, trying to, like, that's such, like, and I heard Lebatard defending that question. It's a terrible question. Like, what they asked Russ, it's like, do you feel like the Rockets get more energy when you're on the bench? What kind of dumbass question is that? Of course they do. Like, I don't know, man.
I felt like it was common sense, but it was necessary just because of how much OKC was getting outplayed when Russ went to the bench.
No, I think it's a viable question to ask, but like everyone's pretending like it was this great question. I was like, it wasn't. It's like you weren't asking, like this wasn't some feat of journalism, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it definitely wasn't anything profound, but I don't see why Russ jumped in.
No, I mean, well, he has distrust for the media. Like, it's been that way for a long time. Like, people were acting surprised that a guy who feels the media's... The media has been... After LeBron, they moved on to Russ, right? Like, the media was really unfair to LeBron, and then they moved on to picking on Westbrook.
Westbrook. They love...
Do they? Because they love... I experienced that they love tearing down Westbrook.
I think they used to like tearing down Westbrook, but now it's like he's averaging a triple-double, and he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
He's polarizing now. Like, he has people on his side and people trying to, like, bash him and his usage and his efficiency and his attitude and stuff like that. Like, I think there are two sides to that. But before last season, I think, Westbrook was a meat shield for Durant, and all people did was criticize him. So I don't blame him if he has distrust and doesn't like the media, because why the hell would he?
He's the Donald Trump of the NBA.
Westbrook?
Yeah.
Why?
He doesn't like the media. He has these, like, showy things. Like, the triple-doubles are, like, Trump's gold hotels and whatever. And I don't know. I haven't really thought this through.
This is a bad analogy.
It's good.
So one of them is really good at their job. The other one is probably not.
Which one are we talking about? Which one's which?
Who knows?
Okay.
That's the fun part. Way to go, Jack. You brought the show to a screeching halt.
We got political.
Way to go. We've avoided this forever. The Celtics have come back from what I believe was a 12-point deficit. I think this series is basically going to be Washington blows a lead every game and the Celtics sweep them.
No.
This is an... No, what do you mean, oh, no?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Nikias, you just can't say... Okay, Nikias, I'm going to give the audience a Radio 101. I cannot say something kind of inflammatory and probably hyperbolic to then you just say, oh, no, 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 and then let silence sit.
Oh, yeah.
You either need to, A, make fun of me, B, oh, my God, Jay Crowder just decked a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, badly. Okay, I got distracted. I'm out here giving you lessons on radio and... Otto Porter gets taken out, and I get... That was really bad. Did you see that, Nikias?
I did. I'm watching the game.
Jesus, God. Wow, that looked good. That was... No, the audience, if you see that play, you'll understand. It was jarring as hell.
Yeah, Otto Porter doesn't look very...
Oh, that... Yeah, he looked like he hurt his hand. Oh, series over. they need him. He's really good.
That's it.
Oh, I think his hand got caught on the backboard.
Yeah, that's not
good. We watch basketball here on Heapy.
Some Live. Of us are you'll watch focused the highlights on next podcasting.
Day. Some of us are... Well, last show, Alex was watching the Bucks game, totally not listening to anything that was happening. Nikias,
did you guys see Otto Porter got hurt?
Yes.
I'm watching it on a screen.
Would you rather... Otto Porter is going to get grossly overpaid, isn't he? And then never going to play as good. Is this what the call them? Wait, I think I found it. Is how we view Otto Porter the way the country views Dion Waiters?
No. What?
Because, like, I was about to say, Otto Porter had a good year, and he's about to get grossly overpaid, and he's never going to reproduce the season he just had.
Well, I mean, I think they have like pretty different career arcs where Dion's been wall to wall pretty garbage for most of his career and then had like one really good half season. And now he's probably going to get paid pretty well. Otto Porter's kind of trended up, right?
And he also like, has a young player physical, and he's been improving. He's also very long and he's had, you know, so he has the physical ability that goes with that as well. That I guess you're kind of paying for size in a way.
Yeah. No, your take's bad.
Is it bad? I don't know. I still feel it. Because like the shooting has been, hasn't he been the best 3-point shooter in the league? Is he still? I know at one point he was.
I mean, I don't know if that's sustainable, but that doesn't mean he's going to like stop being a good 3-point shooter. It's kind of like the Josh Richardson thing. Like he wasn't always going to be a 50% 3-point shooter, but I don't think what we saw this season where he was like below 30 for a while. Like, I don't think that's him.
You haven't given up on him.
He had a really good end of the season. I think he's shown that when he's healthy and he has like some continuity on the court, he plays well. I just think like he kind of had a garbage hand dealt to him this season with like the way the injury shook out.
No, wait. What are we doing?
Why is there Rickroll music?
Is my take.
Because he said never going to give you up.
This is great.
Okay. Okay.
But no, Josh Richardson's career is over, remember? I mean, he was bad, and he's never going to improve. I thought that was
the truth. Yeah.
That's the narrative, Nikias. You have to stick with it.
That's it.
We're calling you out, Harry.
It's the script. And Alf. Alf hated him.
Yeah, Alf sucks, though. He couldn't even be on this pod.
Yeah, his internet went out. What a loser.
Yeah, what a loser.
Yeah, Nikias had the emergency fill-in. Thank you, Nikias. See, Nikias came in through the clutch. He was D-Wade. He saved the show.
Good job. Good effort.
G-W-O-D-J-O-B. Good job, good job.
I don't know what that means.
I don't want to know what it means. Brian, are we ready for a new segment?
I've been ready.
Are we all ready? Like, everything set up?
We have a segment?
It's James.
We have a segment.
Oh, cool.
Brian, play the imaging.
Do you want to explain it or just want to play it?
You play the imaging, then I'll explain it.
Okay.
It's a surprise.
Okay. Ready?
I'm excited. Ready? I haven't heard the imaging. I'm super excited.
Well, here's a tease and here's a full surprise.
X's and the spores. They hunt me like Nikobs. They're stalking to cameo on everyone's photos. X's and spores.
Need a better animated voice.
Yeah. Her sister was supposed to sing it, though.
She was, but she got sick, so.
That's the best
we had. Okay, so what this segment is going to be is Jack is going to give relationship advice to listeners using Spoisms. Brian, what do our listeners want to know?
Oh, God. You really want to know?
Yes. Give it all to
us. This comes from our own Brassjazz. He asks, I have a friend who really wants to have sex with girls, but he goes on dates with lesbians. What's wrong with him?
I got to tell you, I don't know what's wrong with him, but you got to find a way to overcome it. You got to get over the hump and get the job done. Either you make excuses and feel sorry for yourself and don't find a way to produce, or you use it as a springboard to really come together. That's the advice I'd give to your friend. And the thing with relationships, everyone's pulling on the same side of the rope. If you have a tug of war going on, it's not gonna work out.
Sound advice.
Thank you.
Brian, what's next? What else are listeners need? How can we help our listeners?
This comes from at Dos Minutos. He asked, I called my lover's bluff and he left me last summer out of spite. I had a miserable year, to be honest. How can I make him take me back?
I don't know if there is a way to make him take you back, Dose. My advice really would be that relationships are for competitors only. And if you're not going to stick through it and fight it out and hold on to the rope, then you really shouldn't be in a relationship. That's all I got to say.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of rope holding this segment.
That's the key to a relationship, is holding on to that rope.
I feel like the rope of a relationship. Yeah, I feel like this rope is going to be the most important thing in everyone's advice. That's just a guess. Brian, do we have any others?
This comes from at Justice and Jordy. He asked, my wife left me because I was checking out some stats. How can I get her back?
Mental toughness. That's it. Next question. Mental toughness.
What's Brook? Next question.
I don't know what this question is, but I'm going to ask anyway. This comes from at JeffG615. He asks, are Sundir or Yandy girls better in relationships?
I don't know what that means. Can I answer it?
Is that an anime question?
I'd rather he didn't.
Sundires, listen, Sundires question, always let go of the rope. Yandere's always hold on to the rope, right? So Sundere's let go there, but they secretly want to hold on, right? Sundere's are the kind of people that let go, but in reality, they want to hold on. Yandere's are the type that will hold on forever with a death grip and never let you go. Don't date a yandere. They're scared.
All right, last question comes from at Hakeem Dalim. He asks, any advice for a long-distance relationship?
Hold up. Did we not have a question from at Heat Priapism? Are we not doing that question?
I think you know why I dismissed that one.
Okay.
Jack wants to cut right to the chase.
That's fair. No. Repeat the question. I'll answer the question.
Our listener wants to know, what do they do for a long-distance relationship?
I'm not going
to. Long distance relationships are complicated. The key to any relationship, there are two keys to any relationship. I will say that. The first key is pace. The second key is space. With a long distance relationship, you got to manage that space. You got to meet up whenever you can. You got to find meeting points, halfway points, and get together. As for pace, space makes that more complicated. And you're going to have to pace the relationship properly. You don't want to go too fast. You don't want to go too slow. Pace and space. Don't let go of the rope. That one was weak.
Not your best one.
We tried everything.
Maybe our last question.
We're going to have to find different ways to get into our game.
Brian, the last question.
I'm not reading that one.
Why not?
Never mind.
It's
going to
come back and bite me one day in the future, I feel like.
Do you want me to read it? Should I read it?
If you want to sacrifice your journalism career, go ahead.
I have to pull it up. Hold on. I have to find it.
We had one really long one from at Aaron. But I honestly, it's way too long to read.
This is better. Jack, Heat Priapism. Leap off about it. Wants to ask you, how can I get my partner to do anal?
Whoa.
Wow, that's super inappropriate. I didn't see that one coming. The thing about relationships is it's all about sacrifice. And both sides are going to have to sacrifice. Either you're going to have to sacrifice your desires or she's going to have to sacrifice her desires. And deciding who's going to do that, that's a competition. It's going to take mental toughness. And you're going to have to find ways to get into your game. It's been well documented. There's nothing new. Right now. What? I'm sorry, what?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to hit him with the culture.
The culture? That's a Riley thing.
Sorry.
Not a spoism.
Spoism. Not a spoism. I would never not do a spoism in this segment. That started off hotter than it ended.
He really petered out at the end.
Yeah, petered out.
I thought we had something.
I thought it was good.
It was stimulating.
I think it needs work.
Yeah, we got to bring physicality next time. You hear that a lot of time in this business, that doesn't mean you don't go through emotions. I'm just reading spoisms now.
Honestly,
I don't care if they fit.
This segment was better in theory.
Yeah. It also would have been better if I prepared at all.
Better if your sister sang the intro instead of
it. It would have been better in theory. I don't want to slam your imaging, but we could have had better imaging. honestly, just, you know, we weren't, we, this wasn't for competitors only. It, we let go of the rope.
It was for competitors only, and we are not competitors.
X's and the Spurs, they haunt me like McBobs. They're stalking to cameo on everyone's photos. X's and Spurs.
You're so pleased with yourself, Brian. Good job, bud.
I just like that I put McBobs in there.
Listen, at this point, I'm gonna be honest with the audience. I'm gonna be honest with you. The Heat season's over.
It is?
We're scrapping for content. Right? So we've reached our limit on what we can talk about. And basically at this point we're just trying to get through our two shows a week. So expect a lot more of these X's and Spos like segments where we try to mass produce content to be interesting.
I have a question for you guys, Heat related. I think it's a good, could be a fruitful discussion.
Please save us.
How much money do you think James Johnson is going to get on the open market this summer?
Like, we haven't done that show 5 times in a row.
Hold on, wait a second. Brian, you'll think this is funny, and longtime listeners will think this is funny. A long time ago, when we first got Hassan, when we, the Heat, I keep saying we, you guys have infected me. I used to never refer to the Heat as we, and now I'm doing it all the time because you guys have poisoned me. When the Heat first got Hassan, Brian and I did the show, like, for 10 straight shows of the Is Hassan For Real show, right? It was a bad show, and we kept doing it because they were losing, and that's all there was to talk about.
That sounds like the Levitard show, to be fair, though. Like, yeah, that was his show for a year.
It was, but they did it much better than we did. Now, we're doing, this season, the What Is James Johnson / Deion Waiters Worth show. And we've done that. I think, hold on, this is very meta. We did this last show. We did the show last show where we critique how we talk about Deion Waiters and James Johnson all the time. Now I'm doing the critique of the critique again.
Inception.
Legit, I've run out of things to talk about.
I think he's going to get a little over 10 million. Under 20, but around there.
Solid.
Did Good you time. Guys feel bad for Dwayne when he went 1 for 10?
I never feel bad for Dwayne.
Because you're a hater, dude.
Yep.
You don't like it. Did you feel bad for him when he went 1 for 10 and he just looked like he didn't want to be there?
I mean, it was kind of, well, not funny, but I don't know. It was just kind of crazy watching Chicago just completely give up. I think it was kind of fitting how that year went overall.
It honestly felt like they quit. Like, I don't think we see that very often in sports, but like they look like they flat out quit.
Oh, definitely.
They let go of the rope.
You had to get that in. That's it? Nobody adds anything? I just say
I have something to say.
No, you just said let go of the rope. Okay. Listen, I just went over how we're grasping at straws. I'm trying to produce content. I'm trying so hard. And I say something and you guys give me nothing.
We had an incident in the middle of the pod that kind of took us out of our rhythm.
I'm sorry for
that. I'll say that.
The audience.
I will say that.
Okay, I'm gonna let people behind the curtain and know of our incompetence. We're trying to use this thing called Zencast. Zencast are supposed to give us better sounding shows, right? So we're trying to experiment with this Zencaster thing. And about halfway through, pretty much right as we started X's and Spos, Zencaster decided that it wanted to kick Nikias out. And it did. Not only did we lose Nikias' audio from the Zencaster, but we had to, like, reboot the show and everything. So we were, like, there was, like, 20 minutes of downtime. Right? So in that 20 minutes of downtime, I'm trying to figure out what happened to Nikias' audio. Nikias is trying to get reconnected. Brian is trying to figure things out. Jack is sitting down playing on his phone. And it's honestly a disaster. Because that's what I get for trying to produce a better show. That's what I get for wanting decent audio quality.
That's why X's and Spos was bad. It wasn't my fault. I mean, it was bad
when we had, it was even worse when we recorded it the first time, but
yes, because
and I did have 20 minutes to prepare that I didn't
you
use.
You didn't use it. So. You admitted that you weren't prepared.
We'll get him next time.
Jeez,
we'll get him next
no.
time.
Like, you know, like, oh my god. Like, I'm trying. Like, it's hard. And I basically, the show is me complaining.
Every show.
Jesus.
Okay, I have a comment about the Bulls series. Who would have thought that in 2017, Rajon Rondo would be more important to a playoff series than Dwayne Wade?
I'll give you a better one. Who would have thought that Joe Johnson, after last season, would be more important to a playoff team than Dwayne Wade?
You guys hated Joe Johnson.
You guys are too many people.
What, you and Harry
no,
and whoever
Harry.
Else, and Alf?
Harry and Alf.
Yeah. And I think he's a pretty cool guy. And I think he had some cold shooting, but he was pretty good for us for a decent stretch. That's all I got to say.
Way to go. That's some A-plus analysis, Nikias.
Joe was really good in that Utah series. Should have watched it.
Yeah.
He was good. No, he was great. He down the stretch, and like even the games like he didn't have big games, like he had timely baskets and he didn't let the ball stick. Like he wasn't bad in any of the games.
ISO Joe.
He carved.
And Joe Ingles. He's been pretty good too.
Joe Ingles is good, man.
The Heat should low key go after Joe Ingles.
High key should go after Joe Ingles.
How are they gonna fit him onto their cap space after they signed Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin?
No, that's a great point. Maybe he'll take
yeah.
him.
Do you want Blake Griffin?
I mean, do I want Blake Griffin? Like, what are we giving up for him? What are
like,
we paying?
There's baggage that comes with Blake Griffin in the form of you have
him being really good at basketball.
Like, you know, like I think there are legitimate questions of can this guy stay healthy?
Yeah, but we had Dwayne Wade as our main player for like a decade, so I don't think we have a problem with that.
But Blake seems to. Like get hurt every year in the playoffs.
Meh. I'm fine with that.
This is the
we can. We're in Miami. There's HGH down here. We got James Johnson and Deion Waiters into world class shape. We can get Blake Griffin to not break down right before the playoffs.
I don't know, Nikias. I'm like not. I mean, I would never say no to a good player like that, but. I think there's legitimate concern.
I'd want to see him on the Spo, honestly. I would be down with Blake Griffin.
But, like, do you want two bigs? Like, are we still doing that?
No, screw Hassan Whiteside.
I mean, I don't think Hassan should be the reason you don't get Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Blake's considerably better.
Well, yeah.
Also, the Clippers have... Blake and DeAndre Jordan, and it works kind of well.
No, they have a great offense.
Yeah, they do.
But Goran is not CP3.
Yeah, and Spo isn't Doc Rivers in a good way. Like, Miami has a good coach.
That was good.
People, poor Doc, man.
He's a glorified Vinny Del Negro.
Whoa.
What has he done that Vinny hasn't?
Win?
Nothing really.
What has he won more than Vinny? Like Vinny wasn't terrible with those Clippers teams.
No, both teams capped out at the second round.
Yeah, the same quality of team. Yeah, you
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're kind of right.
I win this one.
I can't. No. Yeah. I cannot dispute what you're saying. Under Doc, they did have that big win against the Spurs, and they were up against the Clippers. Against the Rockets.
Yeah, they imploded.
Yeah, and then they lost, yeah.
Which I still feel bad for.
I just don't understand how the Clippers didn't get a decent wing by accident.
Yeah. Who have they had? Like, Wesley Johnson, Matt Barnes?
Discount
Bill. Luke and Bob Mute.
But like,
I like Luke, but teams still ignore him, so it's just...
yeah.
They haven't been as good as the discount bin as Miami has.
You know what pisses me off is that they're out there with trotting out like their scrubs at the three. Meanwhile, the Sixers are like just hoarding Robert Covington.
Oh, man.
That's not fair to Robert Covington.
It's not.
He's so good.
They should sue the Sixers.
Yo, hold on. That'd be so funny if there's like a joint like suit against the Clippers for like the good players that are there.
Against the Sixers?
And the coach, Brett Brown, because he's a good coach. That guy can coach.
Is he a good coach? He's Do we know that for sure yet?
I think he's a good coach. I think he can,
but like based on what?
That dude, Nikai.
Based on what they run, I think. I think he's good. The fact that the players play as hard as they do, considering their organization, already speaks to how much they believe in him.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm just saying it's kind of impossible to know how good he is, considering he doesn't really coach for an NBA team.
Oh, well, that's probably fair.
I mean, yeah, no, like, you make the point that it's difficult to make a case for him, like, unless, and I'm not out here, like, looking at his sets and, oh, you know, these down screens that they run, these stagger picks, you know, they're really helpful in freeing up, like, I'm not going to out here say that. But I think the word around the league is that he is a good coach and his position is unfair. Like, that. And he's never really, he's oddly not gotten blame just because the organization has been so, as we would say in Spanish, el descaro, like the gall that they just don't even try.
Is he really in a bad position though for a coach? Because he's had job security and he's not really getting a ton of criticism from the media.
No,
which is really all you can ask for.
That can't be fun, man. Like,
oh, it can't be fun, but he has a job.
At the end of the day,
Doc Rivers might not have a job soon.
But like, if you're a coach, right? Like, you have a record, and that's all these losing years. Like, he might like never get out of that. You know what I mean?
He won't.
Like, that kind of sucks. Like, you might be a good coach, and your record's under 500 for your career, and like, that stuff gets looked at later on in your, like, you know, in your legacy and stuff, and that has to suck, you know.
But yeah, they're gonna have to put a big asterisk.
Like, that's not fair. Like, if he turns out to be good, like if he turns out to win like two or three titles, just like, I'm just saying, like best case scenario, or like just whatever, something great happens and he lands a great job. Like, even if he wins like two, three titles, you know, people are gonna look at his win percentage. It's gonna be like, ugh.
If he wins two or three titles, I'll get something tattooed on my forehead. I won't say what, but
this is an example, man. Like, Spo.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I don't see a scenario where we're looking back in 10 years at Brett Brown's legacy as a coach. He's a good coach.
Probably
I don't think
not.
He's going to be somebody we remember.
Yeah, but like, he'll know, dude. He'll know that he was an under five. Like, in I don't know, man. You don't think that's bad? You don't think that sucks?
Do we care about coaches' win percentage? I mean, outside of slandering Brett Stevens, but like.
No.
In general.
I think, well, yeah, we do when it helps our argument.
That's true.
No, but like, I think, well, I guess this is a broader conversation, Nikai, is how the NBA fan has changed for the most part. Like, there's still, you know, your barbershop discussions of Clutch and Hart and stuff. But like, I think a lot of people are more educated. That's why, I mean, Doc Rivers would never be made fun of 10 years ago, even if he was like, you know what I mean? He's won, right? He has, like, you're golden. You have cachet. Like, you never make fun of the championship. Like, now we know that Doc Rivers is not that great a coach, right? And before, he was, like, coach of the year, and everyone's saying how great he was because we're smarter, right? So, maybe win percentage of a coach isn't what matters in a couple of years, you're right, but I think that has to do with more of the education of the NBA fan.
Interesting point.
That's all you're going to give me?
It wasn't that interesting.
I thought it was interesting. I
liked it.
I fell asleep for a second.
You know what? Go to hell. You and your bad takes slandering Dwayne Wade.
Bad takes?
I'm saying that we
have... Who are you to say my takes are bad?
My takes are great.
Okay. Oh, only no. You believe that. That in and of itself is
other
a bad
than
take.
My Tyler
make
Johnson.
A poll out of this?
Listen, other than my Tyler Johnson take, which I still think is good. What is objectively a bad take?
I try to tune him out, but I'm sure we could put together some compilation of terrible takes.
Who did you compare to Chris? Did you compare Okoro?
Oh my
to Chris
God!
Bosch?
No. Yes.
You called Okoro Chris Bosh?
I called it back. I retract. No, because what happened was that we had Evan Cohen on our show, and Evan came on, and Evan was this blast of energy. And honestly, I was not ready to do a show with someone that good at radio. And I was frozen. and he asked who would I compare Okoro White to? And I froze, and I said Chris Bosh, and I was like, wow, that was dumb, as soon as I said it. And he and Alf piled on me, and I'm like, oh god, I want to take this back so bad.
Is Okoro going to be on the team next year? Because he didn't really play towards the end of the season.
He should be.
I'm fine with him being on the team, I just don't know how, like, everybody else feels about him.
Does Rodney have a... Is Rodney a free agent, or they have him for another year?
Oh, no, they got him for another...
They have him, like, three, right? Yeah, like, really cheap. It was a three-year contract.
Nikias, like, does he remind you a little bit of Jimmy Butler in the beginning of his career? No, listen, Rodney.
No.
Why not? Is this a bad take?
Oh, man.
You just apologized for your Okoro Bosch comparison, and then you threw out an even worse one.
Jimmy Butler.
Man, no.
Because
I've been on the Courtney Lee comparison since he's been signed.
Okay, that's probably a better one. I mean,
with Jimmy Butler.
I didn't think he's going to be a star or anything. I'm just saying, like, it kind of exceeded expectations as an offensive player. You know what I mean? No, bad. I'm sorry.
Do you guys ever watch Dion Waiters and think that he looks like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
No!
That's what you sound like.
Oh, man. Jimmy Butler.
I don't think it was that bad a take.
Yeah, right? Jimmy Butler.
I thought it was really bad.
Like, now, as you make fun of me, I realize it's a bad take. But, like, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, wing defender who was not really supposed to be a shooter or an offensive player, and then kind of developed that later into the season, played a lot of minutes, was trusted from an early age to defend opposing wings' best players. Like, it's not that ridiculous a comparison. Like, I don't think he's going to be
so ridiculous.
Isn't that what happened to Courtney Lee in Orlando?
Man, Courtney Lee ain't... Okay, yes.
The anime is clouding your brain.
Courtney Lee's also like Jimmy Butler.
I mean, they play the same. They don't even play the same position anymore. Can't even use that one.
Nikias, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, if Courtney Lee was not on those Orlando teams that made a final, does he keep getting these contracts? Because I feel like for a while people were just giving Courtney Lee a contract because he was on a good team.
No, I think he's a very serviceable role.
I think he is too, but I think he's helped by the fact that
I've heard this take from you before. And I don't really get where it comes from. Do you think he's just not deserving of the contract
no.
he gets? Like, they're not, nobody's giving him max contracts. He's a good player getting decent money.
But, like, good teams don't go after him anymore. It's always bad
is that
teams.
Necessarily true? Like, he was. I mean, not terrible teams. Like, he was on the Hornets not that long ago, right? They're not a terrible team.
I mean, they're not good.
I mean, they were good. Like, they're a playoff team. Yeah,
man, you're right.
The East is better than the West.
My takes are bad. Whoa.
Well, he saved you a little bit.
What? Oh, no, I mean like in terms of the bottom. Like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean in the top.
I don't know, man. The Bulls are bad.
Oh, the Bulls are bad. But no, like last season? I think last season.
Yeah, they didn't beat last.
Another,
I don't remember. I
thought an under 500 team made the playoffs in the West. Wasn't it Dallas? Yeah. Wasn't Dallas an under 500 A seed?
It was either under 500. I think they were right at 500.
Yeah.
I apologize for my takes. I'm starting to realize that I just have bad opinions. In high school, I once said that Kevin Durant was overrated.
He is, still.